WTNS Communication Lines gives you 2 hours of local news, weather, sports, and information. WTNS Radio gives you everything you need to know. We are live, we are local, and it all starts with WTNS News.
It's 5 minutes after 9 o'clock and a good Wednesday morning, everyone. It is a hump day and it is the first Wednesday of the month. So you might hear those outdoor warning sirens go off at 10 o'clock this morning. And that is because it is the monthly test. We are going to have sunshine for most of the day today, when it's going to be hot with high temperatures around 90. Well, we're going to have open phone lines for our second hour today, and you get to pick the topic. 740-622-1560 is the phone number, but we have a guest joining us here in the studio to kick off our program this morning, and it is Sheldon Mincer, and to hear from Tyndall Church, and we're going to talk about a variety of different things today. Good morning, Sheldon.
Good morning, Mike. Great to be with you.
And, well, let's see. Let's start off, if we could, with just a little bit of background of Tyndall Church. We talked about a year ago of the celebration and Tyndall Church and getting a new life.
We did, and it's exciting to see what's going on. The congregation there had gotten to the point where there's just a few members that were able to attend, and several members were still living but unable to attend, and they made the decision to actually close the church. And many years ago, I had made the request to one of the members there that was secretary and treasurer. I said, if you ever decide to sell the church or get rid of the church or close the church, just let me know. And, I just kind of left it at that. It wasn't anything that I pursued. And things opened up, and they asked me if we would be interested, and the congregation was so generous. And because we have a 501c3 mission organization, Mission 316, they chose out of the goodness of their heart to donate the church to our ministry. And we paid all the closing costs. It was quite a sum for that. But and we've also been starting to work on some renovation. We began right away working a lot on the outside of the trees and the parking lot and all of that, and then after when winter came and we went inside and began working inside the church, and it's just been a lot of work, but we're seeing some great progress and excited about what's happening.
Now, how old is that building then? 130 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was built in 1892. The original structure, and it still has a slate roof on it. I was talking with someone about that, and they said, well, I have a little bit of knowledge about slate roofs. You know, they're very heavy, and they add a lot of weight to the roof. So I was concerned, you know, with the age of the building, if it would, you know, create an issue there. And they said, no, they didn't see any issue there. But they said, you really don't want to, you know, historically speaking, it's better to leave the slate alone. That particular slate that's on there is not an inexpensive type of slate. In its day, it was very very well expensive. I talked to them, and they said that slate will last, its life expectancy is 300 years. So we're at 130, so another 170 years roughly.
Full of flying cars by then.
Said it'll outlast, I don't know how many metal roofs. Of course, we won't be here in another 130 years or whatever, but the slate roof will be, Lord willing.
Okay. Well, we could be reanimated clones, maybe.
Yeah, could be.
That's an hour or two topic.
That could take us down a rabbit trail there. Yeah. But the slate roof is really, I think it's an attraction. It's not as pretty as a copper roof or a black roof. If you put metal on it, it's a lot dressier, but it keeps the historical the value of the building.
Okay, and so now Tyndall itself, Tyndall Church has a certainly history, 130 years, and the village itself. I know you're a Tyndall guy.
So I am.
So a lot of history right there in the the village. People that aren't familiar.
It was a happening place.
The people that aren't familiar just see it as two signs on Route 16, but it's much more than that.
Much more than that. There's a whole community, really, up through there. We call it Tyndall Holler, the older folks did, and then we call it the Holla. But, you know, and there's, of course, an ongoing, I don't want what you want to call it, an ongoing tradition, I guess, maybe, that those of us that grew up there graduated from Tyndall Tech. And we talked about all of that last time around about the spelling. You know, we've gotten into the big thing about the spelling of actually Tyndall.
Two L's on your flyer here.
There are two L's. Okay. And the interesting thing is, too, with the church being 130 years old, the actual sign that has been on that church for I don't know how many years, but it's spelled with two L's. And those of us that grew up in Tyndall, people like Mark Spang, different ones, graduated from Tyndall Tech, we learned how to spell Tyndall.
Is it possible that in the early days of Tyndall that the people that lived there just spelled it two different ways? Is that a possibility?
I think so. I think there have been people that obviously that have a lot more knowledge on the history of Tyndall than myself. It's just more of a pride thing, you know. And I think actually when it comes down to it, it may have even been pronounced differently. I know that it was called Coalport, I believe, at one time. There's been different names, you know, throughout the years.
Ken and I got into it once, and we found evidence, compelling evidence, for both names going way, way back. But the two L's does seem to have prevailed.
Yeah, and you know, they're doing some work on the highway down there, and I didn't get a chance to talk to the head fella, but I'm going to suggest to him that when they put that new sign up through there again and get that construction finished, that they add that second L, you know.
Maybe did I dream this, or did somebody go up there with a roll of duct tape one day and put another L on one of those signs?
Well, that could have could have been a possibility. Not sure who that might have been.
Okay. Well,
it's a mystery. It's a mystery.
I thought about it, but never followed through with it. But I think I saw it, somebody that did it.
I think it was added, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, so. But
we can't. That is defacing government property, so we probably.
But you know.
Get
deeper than that. Exactly. Okay. But you know. My dad moved to Tyndall in 1942, and at one time, I mean, there was, of course, it had a school there. It had several stores there in Tyndall. It was, you know, when the mines were operating and the railroad was operating, it went right up through Tyndall Hollow, right past the church, actually. The church actually owned part of the property that the railroad was on. And it went right up past the church, all the way up the hollow, and so there was a lot of activity, really, in that area at one time. It was a happening spot, and I remember vaguely when I was, you know, of course, you and I are close to the same age, but when we were young, I can still remember the store there.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I think, about three stores at one time.
Okay, up there on County Road, what's that?
Well, it's 284, yeah. 347, yeah, just off the highway there, yeah.
Well, what's going to happen on this Sunday during your celebration? What are you going to do?
Well, this Sunday we're having an open house, and like I said, we've been about a year in the process of working on the church, and someone had mentioned we had finished the renovation, and that's not completely accurate. It's kind of like my wife and I have been married almost 39 years, and you know, there's a lot of things she's completed and finished to help me along, but there's still a lot of work to do. So, kind of like the church building, we've got some other things we need to do, but we have brought it to the point where it's going to be very nice, and I think when the people come, it's going to be exciting. This Sunday, we're having our 130-year anniversary in open house, and it will be open up at 4 o'clock. We're going to have some hot dogs. It's not going to be, you're not going to have I'd love to have steak and filet mignon and all of that for everybody, and a grill going and ribs. Not this time around, but eventually, hopefully, we can get some things like that. Might even have you come out and you know, run the grill for us or something down the road. But it's not going to be a big deal. But we are going to have some hot dogs and chips and tater salad and macaroni salad, some drinks. That will begin at 4 o'clock this coming Sunday, August the 7th. And then at 6 p.m., our trio, Mensur, White, and Cheney, we're going to do a concert, and that will be about an hour-long concert. So we'll finish up right around 7:15. If folks are able to stay for the concert, that'll be great. If they just want to come and get a hot dog and look through the church, you know, and see some of the things that we've been able to do. And I think people are going to be very pleased, especially if you've seen the building and have been in the building prior to what we've done.
So what all goes on in the building? Are there weekly services there?
We haven't begun the weekly services, okay, because of the construction and the things that are going on. We wanted to make sure that the church was presentable. I don't mean that in a derogatory way toward anything that was going on previously, but with the older congregation, basically, you know, the church was attended for many years, but not necessarily updated in a lot of ways. And so we haven't been able to begin a weekly service, but we want to do that starting fairly soon. I'd like to start a weekly. We're going to have probably a weekly Bible study. Now, Sundays will be on down the road, because with my schedule traveling, I'm not able to be there on Sunday. I'm generally gone every Sunday somewhere. Not always the case, but generally. And so we would possibly be able to find someone that we could install. I would like to look at maybe doing that down the road, to be able to actually install someone to be there for a Sunday service, at least a Sunday morning. But we're going to begin with a Sunday or a weekly Bible study, maybe a Tuesday or a Thursday Bible study initially, and that's going to be coming on real soon. So just stand by, and we're going to be. But we also have some other events that are going to be taking place each month. Now, this is the 130-year celebration of the building there, and so we're having this happening now and next month. Another one of the things that when we started, moved inside the building in January, we literally took up the whole floor along one wall and got clear down to the foundation and put all new support and jacks underneath every stud on that wall where it was beginning to sag a little bit, and wasn't an issue as far as the building, you know, collapsing or anything like that at all. It's just on the one side where they had built the add-on back in the 50s, that particular side with the sandstone foundation, which is still very solid, it had a beam about 9 inches high, 9 inches wide. And that old beam, hand-hewn log, lay on top of that sandstone, and then the studs come down into that beam, and they had notches where they notched the stud and notched a hole in the beam, and those studs coming down the walls set right in each notch on 16 inches on center, of course. And we're talking probably, I'm not sure if it's, I think some of it's oak. It could be poplar, but it's very hard. You can't even drive a nail in it. And so a lot of the nails that are in there that we pulled out are 130 years old. The old square nails. But what happened was, is over time, whether it was moisture or possibly termites, we don't know. I mean, it's 130 years old. That beam was compromised. And so it allowed that wall to sag and causing some of the paneling to buckle. And so we didn't really jack it back up, but we took all that old rotten beam out of there, and we replaced it with steel jacks. And we made them to fit from the sandstone all the way up to fit right underneath each stud and support every stud coming down that wall. And then we put cement it all around it, put a new foundation right next to the old sandstone foundation, cement it all around that. So it's going to be there longer than the slate roof. And but that was a big project. Then we had to get under the platform. The one side of the platform was about 6 inches lower than the other side. So if you were standing on the platform looking at the congregation, you know, you're leaning to the right, and so you look back and you see people kind of tilting their heads, you know, to kind of adjust. No, it was noticeable. Let's just say that. So we were able to crawl back. I found a guy that was willing to crawl back under that building, Mike. I said, "We're looking for a Christian groundhog," and he said, "I said it was summertime," and I said, "If you want to crawl back under there," he said, "I'll do it." I said, I was afraid I'd actually get stuck. There are some places that, you know, that are pretty tight. I've got claustrophobia. So, I mean, it's like there's no room to move. It's like going back in digging yourself back in a deep mine or a mine. You know, my uncle used to dig himself back in a hole in the hill and pull coal out. And all he had room was just barely to wiggle back through there. And I just can't do that. And he crawled clear back in there on that under the dugout area under the church. And we were able to raise that platform with some steel that we were able to acquire, and the old beams that were under there, we were able to lift that back up in place, and it looked so much nicer. And so there were several things we had to do structurally that we felt were important and would be safer, too, for the folks that were going to be congregating later. So it's been a lot of work. But
in light of all those details that you just shared, just how bad was it before you started working on it?
Well, it's kind of like working on you hear a lot of guys that do body work on cars. And you got a guy that comes in and says, "Hey, can you fix this rust spot for me?" And it might be the size of a quarter. You know, and by the time they take it apart and actually find the issue, they realize it's like the size of a basketball, you know, and it's can cover. And so the more we started looking at some things, the more we realized needed done. And that really is what's taken some time. But we wanted to start, you know, with that foundation and the structure, and not that it was compromised in any way or going
to
fall.
It wasn't getting ready to fall
down. No, it's not like the situation we had at Chilai, you know. But there were places where it was weak, and so we were able to reinforce that with steel, and we're very, very pleased with, you know, what we've finished. And like I said, we've replaced several joists in the floors. And with a building 130 years old, you're going to have, you know, you're going to have that issue. But there, of course, have been termites with you when you have a building built close to the ground like that. And so and when those termites were there, who knows? You know, it could have been 2 years after the building was constructed. It could have been, you know, 100 years after it was constructed. But nonetheless, those parts have been replaced. And we've had just some wonderful people step up and help us, and especially that guy that was willing to crawl back under that. And it wasn't necessarily even the claustrophobia. It was the fact that I didn't want to go back in there and crawl over, a black snake would be bad enough for me.
Yeah, there could be. You don't know what kind of critters are going to be.
And we have
rare
some
ones.
We have some black snakes down there, you know, in that area. There's some pretty good sizes. As a matter of fact, we were cutting a big maple tree right out next to the entrance of the church, and we were standing there, and this, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. He had to have been at least 2-3 inches around and about 6 to 8 feet long. And he crawled right past my feet. And I looked down, and my buddy was standing there with me. And I said, "You look at that." And he just moseyed along right past my feet and went right up and crawled right into the old stump, you know. And so
that'd be a deal breaker for me, the snakes. I don't, venomous or not.
Yeah, and so the good thing is they say, well, you know, black snakes or any kind of snakes, the good thing is you don't have mice for the most part. So you got to flip a coin. Do you want mice? Some people don't have issues with snakes.
Give me the mice. I'll buy some mouse traps. So Before we get to a break, anything else that's happening on Sunday that we didn't get to? You're going to be presenting a concert. I think you mentioned that.
Yeah, we're having the concert at 6. We're having open house at 4. Basically, just like I said, if people would like to just come and look through it and can't stay for the concert, that's fine. Or if they can just come for the concert at 6, that's fine. And we can talk a little bit about some of the upcoming events and accessibility, too, as well, if you want to.
We will do that when we come back. Our guest is Sheldon Minter. He's here from Mission 316, talking about Tyndale Church and the 130th year anniversary and open house celebration this Sunday. Everyone is invited. We'll be back right after these words.
Shoemaker Farms on County Road 16 now has their own delicious, fresh-picked daily sweet corn ready for your dinner table or backyard barbecue. Stop by Shoemaker Farms for local produce, including cantaloupe, homegrown tomatoes, South Carolina peaches, watermelon, cucumbers, green beans, zucchini, corn for the freezer, and more. Everyone loves their fresh-baked homemade cookies. Again, Shoemaker's own delicious, flavorful fresh sweet corn is now available at Shoemaker Farms. Shoemaker Farms is located 1 mile west of West Lafayette on County Road 16 and is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. until 6, and Sunday from 10 until 4.
For winning lottery numbers any time of day, call 622-CALL for the B-Dry Lottery Line. If your foundation walls are bowed or cracked, call B-Dry today for a free estimate with no obligation.
At Papa John's Pizza, get a large specialty pizza for just $15, carry out or delivery. To order, call 740-623-8483 or order online at pjz.com. And remember, Papa John's new location, 439 Cambridge Road.
Choose the proven performance of the Roundup Ready Extend crop system, featuring high-yielding Extend Flex soybeans and the exceptional weed control of Extend-to-Max herbicide with Vapor Grip technology. Elite genetics, triple herbicide tolerance, flexibility that delivers results. Backed by 25 years of innovation. That's the Roundup Ready Extend crop system, the system of choice. Extend-to-Max is a restricted-use pesticide. Always follow stewardship practices, all pesticide label directions, and check with your state pesticide regulatory agency for specific restrictions in your state. When you choose the Roundup Ready Extend crop system, you're choosing exceptional weed control. It controls more weeds than any other soybean system and offers up to 14 days of soil activity on certain small-seeded broadleaf weeds. Plus, you get triple tolerance to dicamba, glyphosate, and glufosinate when used with Extend Flex soybeans. The Roundup Ready Extend crop system, the system of choice.
Claims are based on approved EPA herbicide labels as of January 2021. Pair with a strong weed management program. Always follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and all other stewardship practices.
Located on Browns Lane, here in Coshocton, is a community for active seniors known as Covington Square. Adjacent to Bueller's, it's convenient to shopping, restaurant, pharmacy, and all of the amenities that are important. Life is carefree at Covington Square with all utilities paid, all inside and outside maintenance included, and for peace of mind, each apartment is connected to a 24-hour emergency alert system. Most important, monthly rents are very affordable with no long-term commitments. Contact the Covington Square rental office at 623-4603 for more information and to arrange a tour of this very special senior community.
Call the Jeff Drennan Ford Sports Service at 623-9867. Hi, I'm Jamie Rice. At Jeff Drennan Ford, we have the inventory and the financing regardless of your budget or credit history. Stop in and see me for your next vehicle at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
Are you confused about the differences between independent living, assisted living, residential care, and nursing homes? The Dr. Donald E. Potts Foundation can help you determine the proper level of care for your loved one. Contact Derek Potts at 740-294-3072 to arrange a complimentary consultation.
Mainly sunny today and humid with highs around 90. For tonight, mainly clear, humid with lows around 70. And tomorrow, partly cloudy with a chance of showers, a slight chance of thunderstorms in the morning, then partly sunny with showers likely and a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Humid with highs in the upper 80s. Chance of rain is 70%. Currently it is 72 degrees in Coshocton. Open phone lines for hour number two to talk about whatever's on your mind today. Yesterday's election, well, there really isn't a lot to talk about. 8.6% voter turnout in Coshocton County, so very, very low. And a part of that is those that are unaffiliated, that are not registered as Democrat or Republican. Well, there wasn't anything for them to vote for, so none of those people were going to show up. But 18.3% of Democrats, 32.1% of Republicans, so not many people in general showed up. We'll talk more about that next hour. We're back once again with Sheldon Mincer here from the Mission 316 Tyndall Church. Open house coming up this Sunday. Everyone is invited. Doors open at 4 o'clock. There's going to be some food, hot dogs, and hot dogs fine, but no filet mignon this year. Huh?
Not this year, but we're looking at it for the next time around, probably the 135th.
Okay, so are you joking about that, or
no? I'm really not. I really not.
Filet mignon. Okay. Well, see if I can remember that.
Yeah,
5 years.
We've put a lot of money into the building, so but next time we want to be able to maybe put some. The building is getting where we need it to be, so hopefully we'll be able to invest a little bit more in the goods on at the table.
So are you in a position to share what the price tag has been so far? I know you've had a lot of people that have been volunteering time, that have been working hard, but how much have you needed to sink into this?
Well, we actually, I'm estimating about $15,000.
Okay.
That we've put in, but we've had a lot of in-kind.
Yeah.
We've had, if we could total the hours that people have donated,
and take those hours and attach, $30 or $40 an hour to it, and
that's correct.
The price tag's a lot higher.
And the people that have been doing the work for us are people that are skilled. You know, it's not something that, it's just your average guy like me that plays the guitar and then just decides to try to cut a board or two here and there. But the people that actually have come down and donated their time are people that are professional, skilled people. And many of them have just said, you know what, if you'll take care of my worker or my helper that's helping me, I'll donate everything. We had over $10,000 worth of trees cut, stumped, and we had loads of gravel brought in, semi, that would were donated. Just the work that people did to help me with the actual foundation and the structure that needed to be taken care of, just the expertise and time, hours and upon hours upon hours of cement work and labor.
So to summarize, about $15,000 of cash as you needed to put in it, but when you add up the materials that have been donated and certainly the labor that's been donated,
20 to 25 easy,
and hard to attach a number to.
And
to
thank
all that,
God for that, because we wouldn't have had that kind of money, and we were able to get some credit to do what we've done so far. So a lot of this we need to recuperate, and so we're asking folks to help us, too, with a donation, a love offering, that kind of thing along the way. If people would like to make donations and say, hey, we like what we see happening, and we certainly appreciate the fact that the building is being renovated, restored. They can help us do that too. So.
All right, Ted. So the celebration coming up this Sunday afternoon, starting at 4 o'clock. What are some of the other activities or events that's coming up at the church?
Well, a crazy thing I decided to do, along with all of the effort we've doing here. Do they call it burning the candle at both ends? Well, I burn it in the middle and both ends, but decided to go ahead and record another album, and so. Along with,
before we go there, let's go ahead and take another break. I was saving that one, we're talking with Sheldon Mincer from Mission 316, and we'll be back right after these words to talk about his new album.
Thousands of sunflowers are blooming this weekend in Coshocton. The Coshocton Sunflower Festival starts this Saturday, August 6th, with 11 days to choose from through August 21st. Each day offers a unique experience, from the weekends with live music, food trucks, craft vendors, and a beer and wine garden, to the quiet weekdays where you can explore the flowers and get perfect pictures. The festival kicks off on Saturday with Sippin' on Sunshine, a wine and beer tasting in the flowers. Reserve your discounted tickets at CoshoctonSunflowerFestival.com. Tickets are limited by day and time, so make your plans now. The festival takes place at the Coshocton KOA Campground on County Road 10 in Coshocton.
Choose a Genesis primary care provider as your go-to medical partner to manage your health needs. When you do, you'll have the benefit of MyChart, the secure electronic medical record system from Epic, the leading health information software company. Genesis Primary Care has offices conveniently located in Muskingum, Perry, and Coshocton counties. To find a Genesis primary care provider who is accepting new patients, make one call, 740-455-7500, and we'll help you find the right provider in the right location for you.
Introducing Beat the Stigma, Ohio's newest game show, where contestants go head-to-head to uncover the underlying causes of addiction. Did you know many of the contributing factors of addiction are beyond your control? Genetics can be responsible for 50% of your risk for addiction. Addiction is not a decision. It's a disease, and it's treatable. Can you beat the stigma? Challenge what you know about addiction at beatthestigma.org.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is, fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy inherited properties, vacant homes, rentals, commercial properties, and apartment buildings. Give us a call today and speak with one of our friendly staff members at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
Are you looking for a fulfilling career with great benefits? At Kraft Heinz Coshocton, you can be part of making some of America's favorite and most iconic brands. They're hosting open interviews on Sunday, August 7th from 5 to 7 p.m. at their factory location at 1660 South 2nd Street in Coshocton. That's 1660 South 2nd Street. Stop by, grab a box of Kraft mac and cheese, and offers will be made on the spot. They're currently offering pay starting at $20.60 per hour for second shift. If you're ready to make the bacon and bring it home too, come see them on Sunday, August 7th from 5 to 7 p.m.
Historic downtown Millersburg invites you to Vintage in the Village on Saturday, August 6th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy a full day of antique, repurposed, reused vintage finds all over the burg. You will also find craft demonstrations, live music, 40-plus vendors, 15 artisan shops, 8 local eateries, and food trucks. That's Vintage in the Village in downtown Millersburg on Saturday, August 6th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., rain or shine.
The next time you go out to eat here in Coshocton County and order a nice hamburger, think about the fact that if 719 other people all ordered the same hamburger, all of that meat would come from one steer. Hello, this is David Marison from OSU Extension, and I invite you to join me from 5 to 7 p.m. on Friday, August 5th on Main Street for First Farm Friday. I hope to see you there.
Get the local weather forecast by calling the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service 24 hours a day at 622-0194. No one will sell you a new Ford for less than Jeff Drennan Ford. Come down and see our great selection at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
This look at the weather forecast is brought to you by 26 Truck Repair. 26 Truck Repair is looking for a full-time diesel mechanic. We offer competitive wages, paid holidays, paid vacations, plus work in a comfortable air-conditioned shop. For more information, contact Angie, 740-202-2350.
Mainly sunny skies today, humid with highs around 90. For tonight, mainly clear, humid with lows around 70. And for tomorrow, partly cloudy with a chance of showers, with a slight chance of thunderstorms in the morning. Then a partly sunny with showers likely and a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Humid with highs in the upper 80s. Chance of rain is 70%. Currently in Coshocton, it is 72 degrees, and we're back once again with Sheldon Mincer. He's here from Mission 316 Tyndall Church. Again, this Sunday, they're having a 130th year anniversary celebration and open house this Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Okay, Sheldon, you gave us a little teaser. You're putting together a new album right now?
New album.
How many albums have you made?
Oh, my.
Hey. You gotta have
probably,
to count.
I would say close to 10.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, what inspired you to create a new album, and what's it all about?
Well, a couple years ago we recorded a hymns album, and people have just loved that album. I love the old hymns. There, many of them have been put aside, and a lot of the churches are not singing the hymns anymore. There is some good music out there and good stuff, the new modern worship. But, I just was raised, in our little church we went to sing. We sang the old hymns, and I love the hymns. I think they just have so much to say. So I decided to go ahead and record a second album, a hymns album, with songs like Wonderful Words of Life, Amazing Grace, Camping in Canaan Land, I Am Thine, O Lord, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, Meeting in the Air, Farther Along, the old song Farther Along, we'll know all about it, Jesus Loves Me, and then Till We Meet Again is the name of the album. That's going to be the title cut. Actually, we're talking, you like to travel. Have you ever been on top of Mount Pilot?
I have not been on top of Mount Pilot.
You've seen it many times.
Well, yeah, you got to drive right past it if you head down south.
You can't miss it. It's got the big knob up there, and every time I drive by, I think of Andy Griffith. And,
yeah, of course.
And, of course, we have been to Mount Airy to see the Andy Griffith display there, and it's a nice area. But we've driven by Mount Pilot several times, Pilot Mountain, and there in Mount Airy, North Carolina. And we decided that we would go to the top, my wife and my brother-in-law and sister, and so we went.
I'm going to guess it was more of a hike than you thought it was going to be.
Well, any kind of a hike is more of a hike for me. Mike.
But can you drive? How far up can you drive?
You can go about this close to 3,000 feet up in the air. I don't know. It might be 3,500. Now you wind up, you know, way up, and we wasn't sure if it was open. They went to the ranger station. They said, "Yeah, you can drive up." And so we drove all the way to the top, as far as we could go to the top, and parked, and went over to the edge. And it, you know, it's for me, it's a very it's woozy. I'm not a heights person either. I just gives me the chills. But I looked out over that valley and all around a beautiful, you know, the beautiful scenery. Then we decided to go ahead and hike up along as far as we could. Now, you can't actually go to the very top of that knob that sticks up. They used to have, for what I understand, ladder ropes that went to and climbed up that. I can't imagine that, but they climbed up on the, and got on the top of that. I think where we were was about 3,500 feet in the air, and it's probably even higher up to that knob. But we went up there as far as we could and overlooked, and right on the edge, you know, of the rock, and all that's keeping you from falling is a board fence, or, you know, it's just, it was a thrill for me. But on the way back down, and I'm not a photographer, not, my daughter's a professional photographer. She takes, it's amazing the stuff that she can see. You know, it's a gift. Just like a musician or an artist, it's an art. And she sees things in the way of taking a picture, and she went to San Francisco Bay and took a picture of the big ships in the bay, but along the bay was a little tiny rowboat that was laying there docked on the beach, and it had one oar, and so she took a picture from behind the rowboat, and you can see the rowboat, but yet contrast it with the big ships in the bay, and it's just so. That's, to me, is artistry. And I'm not a photographer. But coming down back from our trip to the top as far as we could go, the sun was beginning to set, and I looked out over that very high valley, and the sunset was so beautiful. And I just grabbed my cell phone, and the sun was setting over the mountains toward Virginia. And I snapped a picture on my cell phone, and I looked at it, and I thought, that is unbelievable. I mean, just with the mist setting in, the fog was setting in, the way the sun was, and the color, the mountains of different hues of purple and blue, and the trees right in front of me were green, and just all the contrast of the colors. I thought to myself, that's only God that would have allowed me to take a picture that beautiful. Only my daughter would take something like that. I'm not a photographer. And I thought, I'm going to put that picture on the front of my new album. And I'll call it Till We Meet Again. And when I first started singing in ministry, I started singing when I was 3 years old. So, but when I first really started in traveling and ministry and doing what I do, it's been almost 40 years now. We used to go every Sunday morning to the little rest home over in Roscoe. That was what we did during our Sunday school hour. We had our church on the old Red Methodist Church on the side of the hills where we met for church. And we go down to the rest home there in Roscoe, and there's a little lady there. Her name was Mabel Cox. And every morning we would go in, and she would be the very first person waiting on us for the service we were going to have at the rest home there in Roscoe. And I'd walk through the doors, and I had my amplifier in one hand, my guitar in the other hand. And the first thing you'd hear echoing across that long tile room that we met in, Mabel would say, "Henry! Henry! Oh, Henry! I've waited so long to see you." Now, she thought my name was Henry. And I went there Sunday after Sunday, and I never had the heart to tell her, "My name, Mabel, my name is not Henry." And I just let her call me Henry, and she called me Henry. So I went in every Sunday. We'd sing. We'd have our service, finish our service, and the next thing she'd say, she'd look at me and say, "Now, Henry, don't forget to sing my song, 'God Be With You Till We Meet Again.'" And so I saw that picture that I'd taken, and I thought, that's going to be on the front of my next album. Well, I didn't know what I would title it, but I wound up recording the old hymn, "God Be With You Till We Meet Again." And on the album, I tell the story about what I just told you about Mabel, a little bit of that. So it's a very unique album. It's one that is different from any other album I've ever recorded. Most of the albums I record are just, you know, they got the music, you got the singing. But this one, we have scripture. I actually have my tiny baby granddaughter singing with me, "Jesus Loves Me." You know, just it's a very unique album. And the good thing was, different, this album was different than all the rest I've recorded as well, was because my good friend that sings in our trio, Steve Cheney, has a recording studio at his house. And so we didn't have to hurry, you know. And I know you know much more about the history of, you've talked with Gary Baker, the Beatles. And
I know, if you pay for studio time, you got to be ready when you get there because it's expensive.
See that?
Yeah.
And guess what else it does? It really takes away the creativity. And I think a lot of the great albums, and you can name them much more than I, but a lot of the great albums I think that have been recorded have been just albums that have been able to just sit down and be creative. I was watching, my wife and I were watching Elvis Presley the other night, if you saw that documentary. But it had a documentary on Elvis Presley, and just showed him in the studio and just, you know, just kicking up and having fun, and the guys were laughing, and they all were around recording, and I just think that when you go and record an album, you have a lot of times 2 days. You cut your tracks, you'll cut tracks in a day, maybe two. Then you'll have a third day. You'll do your vocals. Then you come in and lay the background vocals down and any extra fiddles or banjos or whatever. And it's just so structured that I think, and of course, not only it's structured, but you have money involved. Time is money. But with this album, we've been working on it for 6 months, we were able to be very creative. Did a lot of the background vocals, and I'm really, really, really excited about it. So leading up to that, with the events that are taking place, after we finish and get by this Sunday, then in September I'm going to have an album release concert in September. It'll be probably the week before the fair. I don't want to do it during the fair week, but probably somewhere there toward the end of September. We're just getting ready to send the album. Matter of fact, I'm meeting him here in a little while to get the master, and we're going to listen through it and make sure that everything, we're happy with it. And then it'll be sent on to the duplicators and all the artwork, along with that picture that I took at Pilot Mountain. And it'll be duplicated, and I'll begin working on that tracks and singing them and familiarizing everything I need to do. And then we're going to have an album release concert in September at the church. And then in October, we will have our missions conference. And I shared with you a little bit about our pastor from Nigeria.
This is another opportunity for a break here.
Okay,
we've got to get one
here before
10 o'clock this morning. But I do want to talk about your pastor from Nigeria. A lot to talk about there. We'll take a quick break and be back with Sheldon Minter once again right after these words.
Coshocton Regional Medical Center would like to thank all the community partners that sponsored this year's Fill the Backpack project. Platinum sponsors include American Electric Power, Cleveland Cliffs, Coshocton Church of the Nazarene, Coshocton Elks, Coshocton Walmart, COTC, Durbin Tire Service, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Kiwanis of Coshocton, McWayne Ductal, MVHC, Roscoe United Methodist Church, Wendy's of Coshocton, Willowbrook Consulting. Gold sponsors include B&M Excavating, the Coshocton Beacon, Coshocton County Coordinated Transportation, Coshocton Board of DD, Fanatics, Grace United Methodist Church, Given Dawson Paisley Funeral Home, Hossaman Marketing, Jones Metal, Ravens Glen, Coshocton Rotary, Three Rivers Energy, West Lafayette Lions Club, and in memory of Randy L. Simmons. We would also like to thank the additional businesses and community members that have donated, and a special thanks to our volunteers that make this project possible. Thanks to your support, every elementary student in Coshocton County will receive a backpack and school supplies this coming school year. Coshocton Regional Medical Center, where care matters most.
Are your creditors threatening you? Are your wages being garnished? Do you fear you may lose your home? Call the local bankruptcy attorney at Drown Law Offices of Coshocton to stop the harassment. When you file a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, your debts are eliminated, and in most cases, you can keep your home, car, personal possessions, and retirement. With proper guidance, good credit can be reestablished in only a few years. Call today for a free, no-obligation packet at 740-291-8080.
This is Jim Smucker, president of Keim in Charm, Ohio. You'll find Keim Home Center located on 50 acres in the rolling hills of Holmes County. Do you have a home, building, or woodworking project in mind? If so, Keim has an unmatched selection of items available for you. At Keim, our team of experts is committed to caring for your project like we care for our own. We offer convenient pickup and delivery options. Visit Keim Home Center or go to keimhome.com to learn more. Keim, built on trust since 1911.
This look at the weather is brought to you by Edie's Homestyle Diner at 611 Main Street. Now open daily 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Whether you dine in or carry out, you'll get homestyle cooking at an affordable price. Call 740-623-8131 for carryout orders or stop in at 611 Main Street. And remember, save room for a delicious slice of homemade pie.
Mainly sunny today and humid with highs around 90 for tonight, mainly clear, humid with lows around 70, and tomorrow partly cloudy with a chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms in the morning, then a partly sunny with showers likely and a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, humid with highs in the upper 80s, chance of rain 70%. Currently it is 77 degrees in Coshocton, 8 minutes till the top of the hour. We are back once again with Sheldon Mincer. From Mission 316 Tyndall Church. It's the 130th year anniversary at Open House coming up this Sunday. Doors open at 4 o'clock, and there's going to be hot dogs and fellowship as well, and a concert by Mincer, White, and Chaney at 6 p.m. What's your new album called,
Sheldon? Called Till We Meet Again.
And now you told the story of a couple of songs on there. Does every one of those songs have a story behind it? When it comes to old hymns, you got hundreds to choose from.
They do have stories. Every hymn has a story, and that's the neat thing about the old hymns. And so, but I don't tell, I tell some of the stories that I relate to that particular song. It doesn't necessarily relate to how that hymn was written. But yes, they all have, that's the richness of the hymns.
Did you pick any of them just because you like the melody?
I actually did a bluegrass one on there, okay. Mike, and me to sing bluegrass, Ricky Skaggs does it well, Rhonda Vincent does it well, but Sheldon Mincer to sing bluegrass, is another story. But, and my dad actually said, Sheldon, why don't you sing country? He didn't necessarily mean country per se, but country style. And I said, well, Dad, I'm just not a country singer. I don't have that twang or that whatever. Or that sound, I did record Camping in Canaan, and it gets up and moves. I mean, it's three chords and a cloud of dust, and the track was moving so fast has a mandolin, banjo, acoustic guitar, and fiddle, and it was moving so fast we actually had to slow it down so I could sing it. A little bit. We slowed it down a little bit. But, that was very interesting for me to sing a bluegrass. Now, I can sing slower bluegrass stuff and sound okay, but this one was getting out. And, like I said, three chords and a cloud of dust. But I had to slow it back down just a little bit came out real nice. And I think some of the people are really going to like that one.
Now, you mentioned that your pastor from Nigeria is going to make a visit. Well, what is that relationship that you have with him and with Nigeria?
Well, I met him in 1996. He came to Newcomers Town.
What's his name?
Pastor Peter Adigwe.
Okay.
It's spelled A-D-I-G-W-E. It looks like Adigwe, but it's pronounced Adigwe. He has just had his 80th birthday, still a world traveler. He's been here about 25 times over the last, well, we've known him for 25 years. I would say not 25, maybe 20 times. This year we ran into just a little bit of an issue with the visas because of the everything's just backed up so much. So we had to postpone his trip from June until October. So he'll be here in October. But we met him in 96 in Newcomers Town and heard his story of how he was raised in the north of Nigeria among Islam and Muslims, and his village was attacked when he was only about 24. Nigeria was colonized by the British for 100 years, so from 1860 to 1960 they were under British rule, but then they turned it back over for 30 years. Then Nigeria was basically under militant rule, and for that many years they just went into villages and played and created havoc among the people. And it's still happening, actually, from January till through March of this year, just this year, over 2,000 people have died in northern Nigeria. And it's just the ongoing issue that they face. And therefore, their food prices, we have 40 children that he takes care of there. We have a school. We have medical clinic there, medical outreach, where we're training young girls. Many of them were involved in human trafficking and terrible things. They're able to get degrees and get into nursing. But just helping them buy food has just exponentially risen in price. But a lot of that food comes from the north of Nigeria and with all of the things that are going on worldwide right now, and especially the crisis in Nigeria, it's creating some issues. But thank the Lord. I just spoke with him just a few minutes ago, got off the phone with him, and he said, yes, I've had my interview and everything went well. He had to go to the capital to get his visa or to get his interview to eventually get his visa. And they said, oh, you're going to visit your friend in Ohio. And he said, yes, I'm going to visit my friend. This is 25 years. So we're looking forward to him being here in October. So we'll be having the continuing 130-year anniversary. We'll be having a missions conference in October. And we'll be letting everyone know when we're going to do that. Hopefully we can come back and talk to you more about that. Then in November, we'll be having our Thanksgiving. And this year I would like to have not just a Thanksgiving service, but we may have praise and pie.
Okay.
Okay.
Can never go wrong with pie.
Yes, never go wrong with pie. And so we'll have maybe pumpkin and pecan and then we'll have the hot cider and things to go along with that and just have a nice Thanksgiving service. And then coming up in December, there's a good chance that once more we had a full house last year for the concert for our trio. We did a Christmas concert with our trio, and we may do that again, or we may have another guest come in and take the year off with our trio this year. But we will have for sure the Christmas Eve, the eve of Christmas Eve service, which will be on Friday, December 23rd, and that'll wrap up our year.
Okay, so a busy year ahead of you. Now, I have Nigeria for a moment. Have you been to Nigeria?
Four times.
Four times? How long did you spend there?
Would you like to go?
I would. I'd like to go anywhere that I haven't been, although the culture seems to be it's a little intimidating.
It is very intimidating, but you know what? You know this as well as I do. People, there are beautiful people everywhere you go. And my very first trip to Nigeria, I was overwhelmed with the welcome that I received, and have been every time I've went. the place where we go in Nigeria.
You go up into the northern part?
Well, not the northern.
Okay.
Now you wouldn't. I wouldn't receive such a welcome there.
Okay.
Okay, but I'm in the. It's kind of like Ohio. You divide from on Route 30 divides north and south Ohio.
Okay.
So Nigeria is about the same. The capital sits right in the middle, around like where Mansfield would be, and that dividing line of Route 30. Anywhere south is generally okay. You go farther than that, you're going to get into issues, especially being a Christian or being a white person, because they see you as a Westerner,
mm-hmm.
and Western civilization is taboo there in the north. But in the south, we went out on the streets, man. I'm telling you, the little children run up to you, they just hug you. The people come and they say welcome, welcome, and you know. It's funny because you walk down the street and all you hear is Ebo, Ebo.
What does that mean?
Look, Ebo, look at the Ebo, Ebo.
Okay. Okay. Oh, I know what it means now. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Look
there,
at the
one,
look
yeah.
at the white guy.
Uh-huh.
Look at the white guy, because they don't see.
Sure.
There's no white people, and they're just, it's beautiful. You know, if we could do that here in America, we'd be in good shape. But they welcomed us and loved us and just come up and hug us and say, God bless America and thank God for America.
And it's an English-speaking country, right?
English because of the colonization mm-hmm. for 100 years, yes. Predominantly, everyone can speak English for the most part. Then they have about three major languages across Nigeria. And in addition to that, they have around 250 indigenous languages and tribal languages that are very, very difficult. And in the where we are in Nigeria, the language goes all the way back as far as Egypt. The people group that we're right in the middle of, known as Edo, Edo, Edo people, their culture goes all the way back to Egypt. And but they're not hateful people. They're very welcoming, and it's just a wonderful feeling. The thing I noticed the most, and I know we got to wrap it. The thing I noticed the most when I first stepped off that plane and from Atlanta and got off the plane in Africa, went straight to Africa. I got off the plane. The first thing I noticed was the heat.
Mm-hmm.
It hit me like it just whoom, you know. But then also just, you know, you can see pictures. You know this as well as I from traveling. You can show people pictures, but until you actually are there to smell it and taste it and feel it,
absolutely.
It's a whole different feeling.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just a little past 10 o'clock, but Sheldon, want to make sure we get everything in that you want to talk about today. Anything
thank
else
you.
Before we circle back to the event this Sunday?
I think that's it. Just thank you so much for the time we've spent. I appreciate all you're doing here, and thank to everybody out there that has helped us, and all those that will be there Sunday. Just come out, and you'll get around the highways. Don't be concerned. Most people in this area know their way around, but you know, you can come all the way to AK Steel, Cleveland Cliffs, and turn left and just circle around. It'll bring you right around to the Tyndall Church, and if you're coming from Coshocton, just come right down like you normally do, and just pass Route 83 there at the traffic light, jump off the highway, and come right to the church. So it's not going to be difficult. It's still going to be daylight, and so when we finish, so most people, you know, you'll be able to find your way out of the holler.
Yeah, there you go. All right, that's this Sunday, beginning at 4 o'clock. Everyone is invited. Sheldon, thank you for being here with us today.
That's
Sheldon Minter from Mission 316 Tyndall Church. And a reminder that if you heard those outdoor sirens going off, it is a test. It is the first Wednesday of the month, and they go off at 10 o'clock for a test. We're going to have open phone lines from here on out, 740-622-1560, 1567, or 545-9284. And, well, I have just been told we have a guest that will be joining us right after the news from the Associated Press.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley. It's expected to feel brutally hot today in eastern Kentucky, where residents are still shoveling out from the wreckage of that massive flooding. It could feel like it's almost 100 degrees there today, and thousands of residents don't have any power. Cooling centers are opening. The number of dead from the heavy rain and flooding stands at 37. Reaction. Now the voters in Kansas have knocked down a proposed amendment to the state constitution that would have given lawmakers the authority to restrict or ban abortion.
The AB's Donna Warder.
Tuesday's referendum was the first test of voter sentiment after the U.S. Supreme Court in June overturned Roe v. Wade. In a statement, President Joe Biden says, "This vote makes clear what we know. The majority of Americans agree that women should have access to abortion and should have the right to make their own health care decisions." The anti-abortion group Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America says the vote is a huge disappointment, and it calls on anti-abortion candidates to go on the offensive.
Voters went to the polls in five states in primaries yesterday. The AP's Mike Rossi has got a look at some of the results.
In Michigan.
Thank you.
Donald Trump-endorsed conservative commentator Tudor Dixon won the Republican primary for Michigan governor. That sets up a November general election showdown with Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer. In Missouri, Trudy Bush Valentine beat 10 candidates in the Democratic U.S. Senate primary, but she'll be the underdog against Republican Attorney General Eric Schmidt in November in the race for retiring Roy Blunt's U.S. Senate seat.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has left Taiwan after a visit that infuriated China. Now it's retaliating, blocking imports of citrus, fish, and other foods from Taiwan. Still falling, gas is $4.16 a gallon this morning, down 14 cents in a week. This is AP News. Legendary baseball broadcaster Vince Scully has died at the age of 94. AP correspondent Sagar Magani.
Hi, everybody, and a very pleasant good evening to you.
It was the familiar opening to Scully's smooth summer soundtrack.
I don't know how you feel about it at the other end of these microphones.
For 67 years, from Brooklyn to Los Angeles, Jackie Robinson and Sandy Koufax.
Sandy into his windup. Here's the pitch. Swung out and missed a perfect game.
To Fernando Mania and Clayton Kershaw, Scully was the beloved voice of the Dodgers, a consummate storyteller.
All I have ever really accomplished is to talk about the accomplishments of others.
He's in the Baseball Hall of Fame, on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and 6 years ago received the nation's highest civilian honor.
I've loved this game.
I'm Sagar Magani.
And I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
Minutes after 10 o'clock, 77 degrees in Coshocton, and it's time for hour number two of the Communication Lines program. We are going to have open phone lines, although in just a few moments, a lot of things there in the AP News, certainly, that we can talk about. We did have a primary election yesterday, although judging from the voter turnout, not too many people either knew about it or cared. And non-affiliated voters, if you aren't a Democrat or a Republican, there wasn't anything for you to vote on. So voter turnout to under 10% here in Coshocton County. So we've got that. We heard the AP News about Vin Scully passing away, a broadcaster for the Dodgers for well over 60 years. So a big piece of baseball history. And the Guardians, they've been playing fairly well, although they got beat yesterday. Those are just some possible topics. Talk about what is coming up this weekend, things to do in Coshocton. We had the folks from First Farm Friday with us yesterday, and Ernest is coming to town Friday night. I know a lot of folks are excited about that. And also this week, starting tomorrow, the Friends of the Library are going to have their book sale, which they do have on occasion, an opportunity, book lovers, to pick up some great books for not a whole lot of money. We have here in the studio with us Brenda Blandford from Friends of the Library. Good morning, Brenda.
Good morning, Mike.
And when is the book sale?
The book sale is tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday. Thursday and Friday from 10 to 5, and Saturday morning from 10 to 1.
This is in the basement?
It's in the basement.
Mm-hmm. So for maybe those that have never been, a lot of, you know, don't typically go to the basement, how do you get there?
There's an outside entrance, and then if you go into the library, there is also an elevator for those who need, and they can come down to the book sale that way.
Okay, so if you can't find your way, just ask the folks at the desk. But there is an outside entrance right there at the near the Main Street entrance of the library. How often do you have a book sale?
We have a book sale once a year.
Okay.
We haven't been able to from COVID for a couple years, so we do have lots of books.
So what qualifies a book to make the book sale?
We've just put all of our books on sale. We always have a book sale every week on Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. Monday from 3 to 6, and Wednesday and Saturday from 10 to 1. But these are books that nobody has seen yet because we just keep them sorted in the back because there's not room in the regular sale. So we take that middle room in the library and have all kinds of new things that nobody has seen yet.
So what is the process of selecting the books that are going to be in the sale? I'm guessing a lot of it has to do with just how much circulation they get.
We have a lot of donations.
Okay.
People bring us boxes and boxes of books. And then also the library reads their books, and we get those books. Right. In the, we have this time in the silent auction, quite a few yearbooks. We have Tomahawks, we have Riverview, we have them from the 20s, 30s, 40s, and we have them grouped that way so that people can bid on the silent auction.
And that seems kind of strange to me. How do the old high school yearbooks end up in the auction?
A lot of times, the library has multiple copies, and so they give those to us. Also, people donate. As people die off, their next of kin bring their books and all of their things to the library to donate to us.
Now, in having been to the book sale several times in the past, what I don't want people to think is, oh, these are books that nobody loves anymore and it's just a bunch of junk. Not true, people that are book lovers, if you go there, and I'm sure you've had the experience, a lot of people browse for a long time and take a big pile of books and are very surprised at what is available.
It's really amazing. We have lots of donated books that are recent, as well as books that are not, but still they're in good shape. And it's amazing what we have down there.
Do you have what's your best guess, put you on the spot here, about how many books and items would be available?
I would say there would be 3,000 to 4,000 books and DVDs and audiovisual equipment available.
Aside from the ones that you mentioned that'll be part of a silent auction, how much are the books?
The books are the softbacks. Regular price is 50 cents for softbacks. Because of this book sale, they will be 25 cents, and the hardbacks will be 50 cents. The DVDs will be a dollar.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so bring a pocket full of change, and you can take home lots of wonderful books and give them a loving new home. So DVDs, about how many DVDs?
There's
a bunch of them?
There are a ton. I don't know how we've gotten so many, but I would say there are probably 500 DVDs.
Okay. It is probably be a better question for Jennifer, but I would suspect DVD circulation is decreasing a bit these days.
It is because of streaming.
Streaming, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So a lot of it DVDs available, and I still have a functional DVD player, so they are going to let those go for a buck a piece. That is this 4th, 5th, and 6th. That is tomorrow. Friday and Saturday, what are the hours each day, Brenda?
Thursday and Friday is 10 to 5, and Saturday is 10 to 1.
And tell us a little bit about the Friends of the Library and what you do to support the library.
We fund many projects at the library, especially the youth and the children, and other needs as they arise. You know, somebody at the bookmobile, Chris may need something, or the young adults, we furnish a lot of things that they do. Just whatever arises, they tell us what they need, and we fund that for them.
And everybody's looking for volunteers, of course, but about how many people do you have that are active members of the Friends of the Library?
We probably have about 20 active members, but we always could use more. Our meetings are on Wednesday, the second Wednesdays of the month at 12 o'clock. So if you would like to come, if you're newly retired or whatever, we would love to have you because we need workers for the weekly book sale.
We're talking with Brenda Blanford from the Friends of the Library, the Coshocton Public Library, and their book sale, annual book sale, 4th, 5th, and 6th. That is tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday at the Main Street location, the main location of the Coshocton Public Library. We'll be back around with Brenda one more time right after these words. Winning lottery numbers any time of day, call 622-CALL for the B-Dry Lottery Line. If your foundation walls are bowed or cracked, call B-Dry today for a free estimate with no obligation.
There's fun for the whole family at the Holmes County Fair at Harvest Ridge, August 8th through the 13th. General admission is $6, $5 for seniors every day, and kids 10 and under are always admitted free. All of your favorite grandstand events, free musical entertainment at the CSB stage on the green, free parking, and so much more. Come to the Holmes County Fair, August 8th through the 13th in Middlesbrough, and enjoy all of the Junior Fair livestock shows. For details about their special admission price of $3, go to HolmesCountyFair.com or like them on Facebook.
At Papa John's Pizza, get a large specialty pizza for just $15, carry out or delivery. To order, call 740-623-8483 or order online at pjz.com. And remember, Papa John's new location, 439 Cambridge Road.
The Coshocton Friends of the Library annual book sale will be held Thursday, August 4th and Friday, August 5th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, August 6th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Coshocton Public Library. In addition to great bargains on thousands of books, movies, and magazines, a silent auction will be held for books of higher value. The silent auction items are on display at the library now and bids are being accepted. For more information, please call 740-622-0956.
The Coshocton Public Library System. Explore a world of possibilities.
Call the Jeff Drennan Ford Sports Service at 623-9867. Hi, I'm Tiffany Johnson. At Jeff Drennan Ford, we have the inventory and financing regardless of your budget or credit history. Stop in and see me for your next vehicle at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
Lafayette Point in West Lafayette offers 24/7 skilled nursing care, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, memory care, and much more to help you reach your maximum potential. They accept most insurances. For more information, call Cody, the admissions coordinator, at 740-545-6355.
Mainly sunny today, humid with highs around 90 for tonight, mainly clear, humid with lows around 70, and tomorrow partly cloudy with a chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms in the morning, then partly sunny with showers likely and a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, humid with highs in the upper 80s, chance of rain is 70%. Currently it is 77 degrees, it is getting warm fast, and we're going to get up to around 90, doesn't mention today, but yesterday they mentioned the heat index, so when it's up around 90, though, it makes the difference. We're back once again with Brenda Blandford from the Friends of the Library. Now, Brenda, in the offset, you mentioned that you have this one big sale each year, but you do have a sale on a regular basis throughout
the
year.
Every week we have a bookstore. The regular bookstore is open on Mondays from 3 to 6 and on Wednesdays and Saturdays from 10 to 1.
And what is the what typically do you find other than the days that you have the big book sale? Do you have the big one at the beginning of every year, and then what's left over stays there for the rest of the year until next year?
That's correct. Okay. Plus, we get donations throughout the year. So always there are new books being put in the bookstores. Also, we have, and this is new this year, in the main library, we have two shelves that people can come get books. We have a variety of books there, and it is for donations. So they can take whatever books they want and donate whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And so that's something, too. We have books upstairs, too, and those are available at all times.
Do you encourage donations?
Yes, we do encourage donations. And that's how we get a lot of our things. We don't want donations until mid-September, until we get the bookstore all settled back down.
So, yeah, you do encourage donations, but not right at the moment.
Right now.
Are there types of things that you really don't want or you prefer?
We really don't want National Geographic. Those just don't sell at all. We don't want any VCRs anymore because they don't sell. Also, textbooks really don't do well. Moldy books, smelly books, we don't want because they have to go right in the trash. Yeah. We can't put those out.
Okay, so if they are in decent shape and not textbooks, then magazines. What about magazines other than National Geographic?
All magazines.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. They would have to be not older than 2 years because they don't sell.
National Geographic. I smile when I think, because I don't know how many times you see a big pile of National Geographics at an auction, and the family thinks that they ought to get hundreds of dollars for it, and it goes for 50 cents.
Exactly.
Because all that great photography in there. Mm-hmm. But so starting in September, you can start taking your donations in again to the library. The book sale again, give us the pertinent information one more time, please, Brenda.
It is that books are 25 cents for softbacks and 50 cents for hardbacks. We'll be there Thursday and Friday from 10 to 5 and Saturday from 10 to 1. I did forget to mention that we have we call it the dungeon. Actually, there'll be three rooms, and in the dungeon are all of our 10-cent books, or you can fill a bag for a dollar, as many books as you can get in that, and you can fill it for a dollar and carry them out of there.
Okay. It sounds like fun. Do you, in fact, have people to come in and browse for half an hour?
Oh,
more?
Yes.
Okay.
We have. Tomorrow morning, we'll have people there until noon.
Other than the big book sale each year, how much do you see people come into the bookstore?
It's surprising how many. I've been there when I've made $80. That's a lot of money for... Mm-hmm. 50 cents and a dollar books, which they are
sure.
Regular price. So, we make some money those. And then I've been there other times when I just make $5.
Yeah.
So it just depends. But we are busy on those days.
Okay, very good.
It's really a well-kept secret because a lot of people don't know, especially teachers, new teachers who are starting up in a classroom again. We have tons and tons of children's books for a quarter. So if you need to restock your classroom, library, or do it newly, you can buy a lot of books for a very little bit amount of money.
Do you have a lot of regulars?
We
that,
do. We have a lot of teachers because they realize, you know, what they can get for a small amount of money.
Okay, so just bring a pocket of change and help yourself to... books at the annual Friends of the Library book sale. Softcover books, 25 cents. Hardcover books, 50 cents. DVDs for just $1. And there are a bunch of them and a few special books that will be up for silent auction. Beyond the school year books, the Tomahawks, can you think of any of the others that are...
They're Riverview. And then they used to do a Coshocton County one, and we have some of those yearbooks.
Is it just your books, or do you have other big books or special books?
We do have special books in our auction other than the yearbooks, but that's what we mainly have.
Okay, all right. So.
And they are on display in the library right now.
Okay, that was my next question. Thank you for that. Anything else about the book sale?
I don't believe so.
Brenda, I have just learned, switching gears here, that you have just recently taken a somewhat exotic trip.
We have.
To Ireland?
We were in Scotland and Ireland late April and... early May.
And now, what was your motivation for choosing those destinations? Do you have friends, relatives there? Did you just always wanted to visit?
Well, we had my family, who is a Guthrie. My mother was a Guthrie, and they came from Guthrie, Scotland. Mm-hmm. There is a Guthrie castle. There is a town of Guthrie. And so we got to visit that, and that was just amazing. Friends of ours also, her maiden name is Guthrie, and so we rented a car one day and went north of Edinburgh for an hour and a half and got to visit that small town.
How long were you there?
Just for the day.
How long were you on your trip?
All our trip was 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these days, travel, especially international travel, can be challenging with aircraft, airport issues, airline issues, and with COVID. And Sheldon mentioned an issue with a visa. Did you run into any problems?
We did run into problems because out of the 26 of us, 14 of us got COVID, and we dropped people along the way. And we were the last to fall. Thankfully, we had already done the rest of the trip, so we didn't miss any.
But you caught COVID?
We did while we were there.
Wow.
And it was really kind of scary getting back into the States. We had to jump through several hoops.
What did you have to do?
Well, we had to FaceTime with our family physician, and he knew when we had caught it, and so we were good. We had quarantined long enough that we could get on the airplane, but we had to have a doctor's orders saying that we could get back. So
okay,
because you can test positive for weeks, and so that doctor, knowing that we had quarantined that long, we could get on the airplane when we were supposed to.
Did you have to provide documentation to the airlines or to the government or anything? How did you put all that together?
It was difficult. It really was. We were stranded in Galway, Ireland, and we had to be tested again. And, of course, we still tested positive because you do for a while, but we had quarantined long enough. So then we had to get the doctor's excuse and all of that. So.
Did you know of those risks going in?
Oh, yes, we sure did.
Okay.
But, you know, like everyone else, you think, oh, that's not going to happen to us.
Yeah, but at least it wasn't. At least you kind of knew what was going to happen.
We had done most
Plus
of our
others
trip.
Had fallen before you.
That's right. We were the last to fall.
So did it, I hate to even phrase it this way, but did it ruin your trip?
It really didn't for us. I think some of the ones that were stranded earlier, it did. Because they missed a lot, but we had already seen what, like I said before. So
did you have to work with the embassies or anything?
Oh yes, okay. Some of us we didn't have to, but some of the ones who were stranded called the embassy and they didn't really help a lot. We just had to have the doctor.
I got to think that now that you've shared your story that the embassies from all countries all over the world, I'm sure, have been extra busy.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a nightmare.
Well, before all of the difficulties, what did you see?
Oh, we started out in Edinburgh and, of course, saw the castle. That was amazing. And then we went north. We went to St. Andrews to the golf course. And Loch Ness, we hadn't done that before.
Was that the St. Andrews? Was that when the British?
Okay. No, we were there before. The Open was there.
Yeah.
But we got to shop in the gift shop and see some of the sights there at St. Andrews. It's a charming town. I know it's known for its golf, but the town is very, very charming. And then we came back to southern Scotland and then on into Ireland.
And Loch Ness, do they publicize the monster
there
at
yes.
all?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It's a big deal.
Okay.
Yes, it is, but we didn't see it.
Didn't see the monster? Okay.
We went out on the lake.
And I've seen photos. It looks like just a beautiful area.
Yeah, it is. It's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous, and very remote. We couldn't, not very many hotels, restaurants. Mm-hmm. It's very remote up in that area.
And did you eat any haggis?
Not me.
Any of your 24?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You had the opportunity to do that?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're a little squeamish about that.
I am very squeamish about food.
Okay. So how about your husband?
He didn't try it.
Okay. It has lungs in it, you know.
I know. It's mystery meat.
Was there something that you were adventurous enough to try that you didn't get here?
You mean food-wise?
Food-wise,
no,
yeah.
Not me. Mm-hmm. But there were some bangers and mash, you know,
okay.
We had that. Some I didn't, but some people did.
So. Okay. Any other highlights or takeaways?
Went to the Giant's Causeway in Belfast. That was amazing. It's a group of hexagon rocks that are flat that march all the way up to a mountain, and you can climb that. It's right along the sea, and you can climb that, which was really, that was a lot of fun, the Giant's Causeway.
Was this through a tour company or a travel agent?
Yes, we always go with Go Ahead.
Okay, do you do that a lot?
We do.
And this is just me personally asking questions about this, but I've never traveled that way before. Where are some of the other places that you've gone?
We have been to, we started in Paris and ended up in Rome, and then we've been to Australia, New Zealand with them, and the Scandinavian countries, and I think that's all.
Okay. What is it that you like about that style of travel versus...
Well, I really like it because you personally don't have to plan and mm-hmm. worry about things. You just pay your money and they take care of everything. So that's the reason we like that.
Yeah, if you're 100 miles down the road, you're not so bad if you have something happen away from home. But when you're 5,000 miles away,
it's scary.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are your travel plans for the future? Have you made any yet?
Yes, we do. We're going. Things have been backed up because of COVID.
Yeah.
We're going to Spain and Portugal and then to Austria, Switzerland, and Germany. And then Iceland. We have an Iceland trip planned.
Okay, that all sounds wonderful. So very Europe intensive. Europe and Australia and New Zealand.
Yes,
so,
because we've been to all 50 states.
Okay.
So,
oh, yeah. Well, when was your, so have I. What was the last state that you hit? Alaska?
The last was, North Dakota.
North Dakota, okay.
Yeah.
That one, there really is no reason to go to North
there
Dakota
is not.
Except to check it off your list.
That's exactly right.
So how long ago did you do that?
That has been probably 7 years ago that we came back through Washington, Oregon, and came back through Montana and into North Dakota.
Did you actually do anything in North Dakota?
There's a Teddy Roosevelt National Park
okay.
there, and that was about
there
all we did.
Medora, and okay, so yeah, which that's about all there is to do in North
it
Dakota.
Is.
You see all the world's largest fiberglass things along the road?
Oh,
there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we did.
All right. Well, Brenda, thank you for letting me, for indulging me with your travel stories. And again, before we wrap up, one more time, share with us about the book sale at the library.
It's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Thursday and Friday from 10 to 5, and Saturday from 10 to 1. Prices are really good, so bring lots of bags and... come and browse.
That is Brenda Blanford from the Friends of the Library and their annual book sale coming up tomorrow, Friday and Saturday at the library. You are invited. We have open phone lines from here on out, 740-622-1560, 1567, or 545-9284. Half an hour of open phone lines. We can talk about the election. We can talk some sports. We can talk about the weather. We can talk about things to do this week and this weekend here in Coshocton County. Another busy weekend has been the case all summer long here in Coshocton County. Or if you want to completely change the subject, that you are invited. We'll be back in just a moment.
Thousands of sunflowers are blooming this weekend in Coshocton. The Coshocton Sunflower Festival starts this Saturday, August 6th, with 11 days to choose from through August 21st. Each day offers a unique experience from the weekends with live music, food trucks, craft vendors, and a beer and wine garden to the quiet weekdays where you can explore the flowers and get perfect pictures. The festival kicks off on Saturday with Sippin' on Sunshine, a wine and beer tasting in the flowers. Reserve your discounted tickets at CoshoctonSunflowerFestival.com. Tickets are limited by day and time, so make your plans now. The festival takes place at the Coshocton KOA Campground on County Road 10 in Coshocton.
Hi, we're the Termite Brothers. I'm Tommy Termite, and I'm Timmy Termite, and we'd love to come to your house for dinner. I'll eat the porch, and I'll eat the carport. Boy, that sure is good.
Don't let the Termite Brothers have your house on their dinner menu. Give Extermato a call today. The last thing you want is the destruction caused by these pesky termites.
Don't delay. Call Extermato today at 740-545-9786. Serving Coshocton, Tuscarawas, and Holmes counties.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is, fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy inherited properties, vacant homes, rentals, commercial properties, and apartment buildings. Give us a call today and speak with one of our friendly staff members at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
Have you experienced foot or ankle pain during or after sports, running, or exercising at the gym? Nagging aches in your foot or ankle that won't go away? Podiatric Physicians can provide you with important foot care solutions, shoe inserts, or show you how to support your feet and ankles so you're able to compete or exercise comfortably. Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association podiatric physicians are located throughout the state and have been serving the profession and the public for over 100 years. To find a member of the Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association near you, visit associationsadvanceohio.com.
This Eye on Weather forecast is brought to you by Sprint Print. Come visit Sprint Print for all your printing needs, including copies, business cards, all types of business printing, and advertising specialties. Sprint Print is still located at 520 Main Street, Coshocton, right behind Stewart Interiors. At Sprint Print, we hop to it.
Mainly sunny today and humid with highs around 90. For tonight, mainly clear, humid with lows around 70. And for tomorrow, partly cloudy skies with a chance of showers. A slight chance of thunderstorms in the morning, then a partly sunny with showers likely, and a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Humid with highs in the upper 80s. Chance of rain is 70%. Currently it is 77 degrees in Coshocton. We have open phone lines up until 11 this morning. So give me a call. Let me know what's on your mind today. Probably not going to have a lot of discussion about yesterday's election. Big things on the ballot is who's going to be the Democratic and Republican candidates for the Ohio State Representative seat. Darrell Kick received 56.8% of the vote, so he will be on the ballot in November for the Republicans. For the Democrats, it will be Heather Swiger. She received 68.5% of the votes district-wide. And so a total of 1,926 ballots were cast in Coshocton County. And our county with a population of over 36,000, under 2,000 ballots cast yesterday. So, yeah, we can't attribute it all to voter apathy because we have a large portion of folks in Coshocton County that are not affiliated with either party, Democrat or Republican. And those that were unaffiliated had nothing to vote for yesterday. No reason to go fill out a ballot if your ballot is blank. So everybody that was unaffiliated or that declared that they're unaffiliated didn't vote yesterday. So that is a big part of the very low turnout. But 8.6% of Coshocton County voters casting a ballot yesterday. So we can talk about that if you would like. We can talk some more about travel since we touched on that with both of our first two guests this morning. They were both here for different reasons, but we talked to Sheldon Mincer a little bit about Nigeria in the in Africa, on the west coast of Africa, the capital of Lagos. It is an English-speaking country, and never been there. I've never been to Africa. Actually, I have technically been to Africa, but never been to the African continent. A lot of a fascinating place as well as Africa continues to develop. Nigeria is the most populated country in Africa. So the phone lines are open to talk about travel if you would like. And then we talked to Brenda from the Friends of the Library, and they just got back from a trip to Ireland and Scotland, visited Loch Ness, went with a tour company, and several of the people on the tour got COVID during their travels. So those are the kind of things that Brenda described. Those are some of my big fears about traveling today. I just do not like having the idea of that, the prospect of having COVID problems, contracting COVID or COVID restrictions that I didn't know of, or getting surprised in the back of my mind while planning a getaway. So on the good news for travelers, we learned today that at least one cruise company is loosening its restrictions on travelers, and this is one that I am interested in, if I can find it here. Norwegian Cruise Lines, where is it? Oh, it's in this pile here somewhere. I am totally unorganized this morning. But, Norwegian Cruise Lines says that it's ending its pre-boarding test requirement where local restrictions do not require them. Testing rules will stay in place for trips from places that have local testing rules, which includes Canada. The move is an effort to return to normal more than 2 years after the pandemic shut down the industry. And I don't know all the details about that loosening restriction, but Norwegian, one of the cruise companies that I have traveled with in the past, you had to have a negative COVID test. It was either within 48 or 72 hours of traveling. And furthermore, from Ohio anyway, you pretty much have to get a flight to the cruise port. maybe you could drive to New York or Baltimore or Charleston. They have cruise ports. It's a long drive, but for most of the big cruise ports, you got to fly there to Florida or somewhere else. So you make your flight. You have to have a negative test 2 or 3 days before. What happens if those test results don't come back? You've already paid for your flight. You aren't going to get a refund that late in the game. What happens if you test positive? You can't get a refund on your flight maybe get some credit, but there's some problems with that as well. Just too many things that can go wrong. So Norwegian, a company that's headed in the direction of loosening those restrictions. I guess we can debate about whether that's a good thing or not. So those are some things we can talk about. The phone lines are open till 11 o'clock. It's 10:39, and let's take our first phone call of the morning. Hello, you're on the air.
Morning, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. How's your garden?
I don't have any ripe, other than the patio tomatoes, I still don't have any ripe ones yet. So... this is a below average year. Now, my hibiscus that you gave me is growing like crazy. It seems to have really spurted over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it has. Mine too. About 3 foot high and 3 foot wide.
Mine's not quite that tall, but it's over 2 feet.
Yeah, yes, I don't really know what's going to happen here. The ones I saw in Florida grow more vertical, straight up, and then maybe in time they'll kind of sprawl out a little bit, you know. But most of them have all been, the ones I saw was about 3 feet tall, and they kind of grew, you know, vertical, you know, more than horizontal. But these things here, they seem to like it a whole lot in this weather. I'm glad that something does. The gardens are going, to me, the garden this year is stumping me more than it has in a long, long time.
What kind of issues are you facing with your peppers and tomatoes?
Well, it's like your peppers, the one you gave me to seed, the Avarskis, those are doing wonderful.
You have any red ones yet?
As a matter of fact, I ate two of them. Pardon me?
Red ones? Ripe ones?
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh yes, nearly all of them. They're all coming on at once, and so we're looking at possibly making that relish, you know, that you were talking about, and then we've been reading. I had the recipe for it with the eggplant. Trying some of that, but what gets me is the simple things like my beets. I grow a rather large crop of beets because a lot of them we give away at Christmas time. Those are things that down south, those people, they don't understand what good, good home cooking is, I guess. But, they love the beets and all. But this year I am not getting them. They're staying small. So I started studying a little bit. I wanted to see a little bit on the viability rate on some of these seeds and everything. I was kind of shocked on some of them, but beets wasn't one of them. Beets actually, I mean, I thought written down, but beets were actually one of them that you could keep longer. But anyways, I was trying to check my viability because sometimes I will buy... Since my garden's not real big, it's not small, but it's not big. It's kind of in the middle, and the seeds will go for a couple of years, you know, using them. But as far as the tomatoes go, they're going crazy. I've never seen like the spectacular cluster the way that it is. None of them. I think maybe one I saw starting to just turn a little bit, but they're getting huge. And I wondered how big yours is getting.
The plants, they aren't growing as tall as they have in the past. Now, I'll say this once again. I got things out a little later than usual, and plus I'm recycling a soil. I think both of those things factor into it. They've got green ones on them, but I have not had one single ripe tomato other than those patio tomatoes. And I've got about, I'm going to guess, 20 tomato plants of several different varieties.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I know that mine's going to be late. Mine always is, because when you, a lot of people don't realize it, but when you stake them, you'll get your ripeness probably a month before those of us who cage them. When you cage the tomato, it shades things and it sets it back.
Huh.
But in the long term of it, the fruit is normally better than what is staked.
I had never heard that before. That's month. That's quite a difference.
Yes, it is. There's a month's difference. And what I'm seeing right now, I'm not joking at all. I know I've got at least two of the spectaculars that right now are, if they're not a pound, they are so close that it's not funny. They're huge. So I'm looking forward that maybe in the hot weather the birds don't decide to use them as a watering trough and go after the seeds. But because sometimes they will. When it gets too hot and they can't get to water, they'll start burrowing into the tomatoes for the water and for the seed.
Well, you're spectacular. I've got three of those growing. I think three, at least two. I think three. The leaves curled up when they were smaller, then they uncurled,
uh-huh.
And then they curled up again.
Well,
they're all consistent with each other. So what's the problem?
Yeah, that was one of the reasons I was going to call in, because I've already gotten phone calls from other people about curling. And then I know what the next flood of calls will be. It'll be about yellowing leaves. Okay, so what we're talking about here is we're talking about a light issue, but with the curling now that light issue, that is with the yellowing leaves.
Too much light or too little light?
And normally, well, what it will do is too little light, because the tomato plant's getting bigger and it's a awful lot like a tree. If the lower branches start to get shaded too much, they'll lose their leaves. They'll shed them. And so the vines do the same. And I read up from one of the master gardeners that I've studied for years. I swear by him. But anyways, on the curling of the leaves, he said, ignore it. Give them their normal. Do not overwater. But keep it constant. Definitely the composting around the bottom, optimum. If you've got the compost available, put the compost around the bottom of the tomato plant. But grass clippings, as I've said before, an inch or two of grass clippings will feed the tomato plant for the whole season. So there's a lot of nutrient that comes into that with the fresh grass. But it says distinctively, and I even wrote it, I underlined it in my book and put a star beside it, that if the leaves are curling, don't mess with it. If just go ahead and let it run its course. Some tomatoes will curl. And they don't like that really, really hot sun. And we have had it.
Your variety, the Coshocton Spectacular, seems to be more susceptible to curling than all of my other, at least most of my other varieties. However, I have always gotten pretty good yield from the plant. So the curling, it's scary to look at. It looks like the plant's not healthy. But I've always gotten pretty good yield off of it. And also, the reason I can't decide whether I have two or three, there's one other that's curled, and I don't know if that's one of yours or not, but the ones that I two that I have the ones that I grew this year were from the original seed that you gave me, however many years ago that was. It's been at least three or four years.
Oh,
so whenever it was you first gave me the seeds for it, those are still viable. They were this year anyway.
Okay, then I would suggest if you don't have you got any large tomatoes, large green ones on there now?
Not real big, no, but I've got some.
Okay. Well, when mine comes to ripen, because I always collect the seed from the largest tomato each year.
Oh, okay.
And so what I'll do is I'll just collect you some seed.
Well, you don't need to do that, but I've got plenty. You can't. The reason I wanted to check to see how long they were viable, and secondly, the ones that I have collected, and I do have some other seeds from the Coshocton Spectacular, from ones that I've grown, but those are going to be ones that were cross pollinated with my other tomatoes in my garden, so the gene pool contaminated. So those two reasons is why I did that. But you know, if you ever want to drop me a few new seeds, that'd be great.
Seeds aren't a problem. I got a lot of seeds. With me, I have bad cases of diverticulitis, so seeds have to be removed before I can eat a lot of that stuff, or very much of it.
Oh, that's
but
a lot of work.
I've got some enormous... Pardon me?
I was going to say that's a lot of work, and when you take out the seeds, you're going to take out a lot of the good, juicy stuff, too.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a lot of work, but you know that's what it's all about. I mean, we do it with the cucumbers too. So, I'll grab you some seed. But I just there were several people that have called me and they've talked about the yellowing of the leaves, which that's a no brainer. Pull them off. You don't need them. You're not going to eat them. Get them out of there. You don't want them shading any more than what they have to. They're dead. They're not contributing, so let them go. But as far as the curling leaves, okay, it's I guess I never grew that tomato plant to be attractive, I guess.
Well, again, just to reiterate, the curling leaves, I've seen a lot of curling on that plant, but never has affected yield. They've always been pretty good, above average yielders. Cucumbers, real quick here. I've got four cucumber plants, all in containers. Three of them are in 5-gallon containers, and I've gotten a couple of cucumbers off of each of those. The fourth is in maybe a 2-gallon hanging basket, and it has yielded at least 8 or 10 cucumbers so far. It's only about 2 gallons hanging next to my house. I'm like, what is the difference? Why is this one yielding so much more than the others? They all came from the same seed. And the difference is size of container, and it's a smaller container, so that shouldn't be a factor. Amount of sun. It's hanging on the side of my house, so it gets less sun than the others that are in full sun. And I have probably been better about watering it consistently than the others, because it's I've got to keep a couple of gallons of water right by my back door, and I give it a little drink just when I walk by, sometimes neglecting the others. So I'm guessing maybe they don't like as much full sun as I thought they did, and maybe the consistent watering has something to do with it. What do you think?
You're absolutely correct on the full sun. They do not want it. They don't want it. They want that afternoon break. You can do the halfway point during the day, like in the morning hours up until about noon, and then you better start shading off. If I heard you correctly, you're saying that the hanging basket produced better than
much better
potted.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm assuming, just an assumption, that you've got that hanging up like on an overhang.
I've got a I don't know what you call it, one of the little brackets you put up for a hanging basket Well, it's on the outside of my my patio, and it's screwed into the a post on my patio hanging from there. So it gets, when the sun starts to go to the west, the shadow of the house shades it long before the rest of the garden gets shaded.
There,
it gets morning
right
sun.
Okay, and when you're talking about the potting plants hung up higher, and that cause if it wasn't up high enough, then it's going to come down and touch the ground if it's any kind of cucumber vine. That shade on that pot is relaxing those roots, and now you're getting the better part of both worlds. You're getting a shaded pot right there, and then you got your vine that is actually hung upside down. When it's growing upside down like that, that would be a natural growth for those because they kind of lay heavy anyways. And growing up a fence or a trellis, that's a struggle. And it's a constant battle for the gardener to keep them trained and keep them on the right path.
Tomatoes and peppers below average so far, but that one cucumber plant in the hanging basket's the most productive cucumber plant I've ever had.
Yeah, I would say my most, the biggest lesson that I've learned this year is to stop buying seed off of shelves and start going with the seed supplier. Because the peppers that I told you about prior, I had pepper plants that I'm not kidding you. I'll bet you there had to be at least 40 to 50 peppers on one plant. And I thought, wow, what kind? It was supposed to be a poblano. And so one day I just cut one open, and yes, it did have a little bit of a hot sting to it, but there was no meat to it whatsoever. The hide on it was so tough that it would get stuck between your teeth, and there's nothing to it. I had to pull and trash six of them at that time, and I see that I missed one or two in the garden. I'm going to have to pull them out too. Get them out of there. But I'm going to have to go with a more reliable seed source, because I was using brand new beet seeds. I had brand new pepper seeds. Everything was new there, and those are the ones I'm having more problems than anything. But cucumbers are going crazy. I got my second crop is only about full, maybe 20 inches high, and they've already started producing cucumbers. And so, you know, we're going to have a bunch of them. We're canning those now, and the beans came on really well. But I just couldn't. I had to comment on the spectacular that I've never seen the spectacular cluster like the small tomatoes do.
Yeah.
Except these are monsters. These are big, big tomatoes.
Well, hopefully when I get home today, I'll start to see some of them start to turn a little yellow and red. That hasn't happened yet. Yeah. I got to get to another commercial before the top
right.
of the hour here.
Okay,
good to hear from you. Thank you for calling. And we had another caller out waiting. I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to get to them today. I'll be back one final time right after this.
This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home. But if just one little piggy catches African swine fever, piggies everywhere will be in danger. African swine fever is highly contagious and fatal. It could wipe out America's pig population. That's why the USDA is urging pig producers, farmers, and veterinarians to know the signs of African swine fever. Learn more by searching Protect Our Pigs at USDA.gov.
Choose a Genesis primary care provider as your go-to medical partner to manage your health needs. When you do, you'll have the benefit of MyChart, the secure electronic medical record system from Epic, the leading health information software company. Genesis Primary Care has offices conveniently located in Muskingum, Perry, and Coshocton counties. To find a Genesis primary care provider who is accepting new patients, make one call, 740-455-7500, and we'll help you find the right provider in the right location for you.
This is Jim Smucker, president of Kime in Charm, Ohio. You'll find Kime Home Center located on 50 acres in the rolling hills of Holmes County. Do you have a home building or woodworking project in mind? If so, Kime has an unmatched selection of items available for you. At Kime, our team of experts is committed to caring for your project like we care for our own. We offer convenient pickup and delivery options. Visit Kime Home Center or go to KimeHome.com to learn more. Kime, built on trust since 1911.
Get the local weather forecast by calling the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service 24 hours a day at 622-0194. No one will sell you a new Ford for less than Jeff Drennan Ford. Come down and see our great selection at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
The Coshocton Opportunity School is accepting applications for the 2022-2023 school year. The Opportunity School has the highest graduation rate out of 86 similar programs in the state of Ohio and is rated as exceed standards in all areas of graduation. They have a combined administrative experience of 55 years and a combined teaching experience of 127 years. They offer the state-required core curriculum, a career-based instruction program, and several electives including art, life skills, parenting, and relationship building. If you are interested in applying, please call 740-623-3600. School starts August 15th with hours from 2 to 7:30 p.m.
You're invited to the Keene United Methodist Church Ice Cream Social on Thursday, August 4th from 4:30 to 7 p.m. at the church. They'll have a full menu including homemade pies and, of course, delicious homemade ice cream. Everyone is welcome. The Keene United Methodist Church Ice Cream Social is Thursday, August 4th from 4:30 to 7 p.m. Keene United Methodist Church is located on County Road 1 in Coshocton County.
If they don't have it, you don't need it. Otsego Carryout in Coshocton is the only stop for whatever you need. Check out their deli, meat and cheese, a freshly made grab-and-go sandwich, and a large selection of Walnut Creek favorites. Check out these new items. Strawberry yogurt covered pretzels, chocolate covered raisins, and a new selection of grab-and-go snacks. Stop by Otsego Carryout today. If they don't have it, you don't need it.
This Eye on Weather forecast is brought to you by H&H Auto Body. If you're involved in a collision, don't trust just anyone. Come see us at H&H Auto Body, Otsego Avenue. For 45 years, H&H Auto Body has been providing the very best in collision repair.
Mainly sunny today, humid with highs around 90 for tonight to mainly clear, humid with lows around 70. And for tomorrow, we can expect partly cloudy skies with a chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms this morning. Then partly sunny with a chance of rain in the afternoon, highs in the upper 80s. Currently it is 77 in Coshocton. This is WTNS-FM, Coshocton.
Listen to the WTNS communication lines Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 a.m. on WTNS-FM 99.3 or online at mywtnsradio.com.